Welcome to Maximum Geek. I'm Jeff Kirvin.
No, wait. Hey!
What? I'm not? Who's Jeff Kirvin?
You just want all of my, like, mad loot, because you're poor and stuff.
Well, what is it with you tonight and the making poor references about me? Yeah, I'm poor. What's your goddamn point? Mr. Moneybucks? That's right, Moneybucks. I don't know what that means. Mr. Moneypants? That's what I meant.
We're like 2 minutes into the podcast and I'm already scarfing down Malox.
Great.
All right.
Do you have Oreos next to you? Because that's when I really get worried, when you're hitting the Oreos and dipping it in the beer.
Ooh, beer.
No.
I'll be right back.
No, you will not. Go. No.
Start talking about our first topic.
No, you will not. You so did not just leave for beer. He left for beer. Oh, my God. And it's ass beer. It's not even good beer. It's Bud Light, or as I like to call it, Nectar of the Ass.
Mm.
He went to get Nectar Tasty of
beverage.
The Ass. I cannot believe you left the podcast to get Nectar of the Ass.
Woo!
That's the official name of Bud Light now, by the way. Okay, we do have a podcast for you tonight. I didn't know my co-host was going to go all crazy, is it? I mean, the signs were there, but I just didn't know about it. All right, we got a lot of movie news to cover up first, all right? Star Trek.
And the first topic isn't actually movie news.
Well, it's movie and television.
Actually TV news.
Movie and television news. Shut up. Star Trek. Which we will follow up with Star Trek movie news, so meh.
The motion pictures on the magic TV box.
Hey, movie stands for motion, you know, it's all about movies, they move. Instead of slideshows, which is, you know...
Actually, technically, they don't. They are slideshows, just done really fast. 24 frames per second.
The point is,
25
the items on the TV move. It's not about the film moving, which only happens if you have a VCR. Although technically a DVD spins, but this is not the discussion we're having. We are way off topic. Here's the topic. We're in Madagascar.
We were having technical difficulties. Earlier, this is actually our third shot at recording this issue of Max Geek. Is it an issue or an episode?
What the hell are you talking? Just keep talking. Okay. I'd like, you know, what you're doing.
Our
first and second tries were far better than this.
Actually, they were much more on topic, which means they were clearly no good for us.
I didn't say they were better for us. And this is clearly dead on for a Maximum Geek.
This is more... Yeah, this is more our speed. Okay.
Way.
So what about Star Trek, Josh?
What about it? There's Star Trek where? Okay. All the original series, the classic, Leonard Nimoy. And my daughter is apparently, she doesn't like Star Trek. Okay, you're making yourself break up. Stop that. Anyway, the classic Trek is being redone. They're shooting a whole... They're doing all the digital effects. New planets, new ships. They went and took measurements from the actual model used for the Enterprise to recreate it digitally.
Which is now in the Smithsonian.
I mean, it's... They're going to some serious detail.
They've even gone as far as full-on CGI Tribbles.
I don't think so. I didn't read that, and I never will. Hopefully, dear God, no. As far as I know, there are no tribbles. No digital tribbles. No digital
tribbles. Oh, there will be tribbles. There will be tribbles. Oh, there will be tribbles. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I mean, yeah, it is, in one sense, it is kind of a stunt, yeah, Lucas. I haven't seen the original Trek series since the 70s, when I used to watch it with my dad.
I'm having a
deja vu. Yeah,
I've heard this
seven.
Before.
I was like seven. I didn't really understand what was going on. I just thought the action was cool. Yeah, I didn't understand why City on the Edge of Forever was so cool. So like, I'm looking forward to re-experiencing these as an adult. Except it cost less than $200 million.
When are you going to be an adult? You're going to have to wait a while before you watch this, then.
So I'm looking forward to rewatching these, and of course, you know, I will be TiVoing them. I mean, yeah. What I'm really excited about is what we alluded to in a previous incarnation of this podcast that no one's ever heard. The idea that partway through or at the end of the syndicated run that these are going to be released in a DVD box set. I would love to have the original Trek in a DVD box set, all digitally remastered with updated effects.
That's what excited me about this, is I said, I've been flirting with buying the classic series as it's gotten cheaper. You know, I own the first four seasons. I'm going to get the fifth season of Next Gen. I'm considering getting Enterprise and a few other things. But the bottom line is, I would love to have the original Trek. I mean, I've seen every episode. I caught onto it later in life than Jeff. My mom used to watch it when I was little. Those were my first experience. But I've seen every episode of the original Trek since then. And, you know, as I got older, in my teens. When I discovered, I kind of rediscovered it just before I discovered Next Gen. So it really worked well for me. I mean, I remember in the 80s, there was a big deal when they originally aired The Cage, the original pilot for Trek, instead of the reshot pilot. You know, where the only character that was the same is Spock. And I remember that being a big deal and recording that on my VCR, and I was about 10 and I really, really got into it then. I really got into it then. So I'm really excited for this too. It won't be cheesy because they're not actually
changing. This is going to be the shiznit, yo.
They're not actually changing anything. This isn't like Star Wars where Lucas went, you know, I want Greedo to shoot first. That didn't happen.
You always come back to that.
Greedo shot
first. That just really bugs you.
It doesn't bug me that much, but it does bug me enough that I bring it up. You know, it's not the worst thing that ever could happen.
I could see where that would bug you more than saying, completely reimagined, completely revisualized Mos Eisley, which I think is much cooler than the original.
I like that stuff. I like Cloud City.
I like the new Mos Eisley.
I like Cloud City. I like the changes there.
Oh yeah, Cloud City looks so much better in the reduce.
The person at the end. I like those things. The story changes. The added scenes are cool too. The story changes are silly. And there's a few other little things that annoy me. Now, there's some people who just hate it all. Those people, on the 12th, they'll be getting a whole new release that is the original Star Wars movies, the theatrical cuts on DVD.
Well, see, I wanted to keep talking about Star Trek, but that's just too damn good a segue.
I did too. There's another Star Trek topic we'll come back to. I was flirting with that, but there's no way I couldn't do that segue. And I'm excited about that too, because anything Lucas can do to get my damn money. Okay, no, you don't understand.
Well, he doesn't have
you
much.
You don't understand. He's poor.
He's frittering away.
Do you know
in
how
California.
Many copies of the original trilogy I've bought?
Probably close to as many as I bought.
Original VHS box.
When I buy,
the updated THX box set, the super cool collector's edition. That's not in the regular book like box. It's side by side.
And yeah, I have that.
The updated versions on VHS. I have the Star Wars trilogy
on VHS.
DVD.
Yes.
And then I have I know, I'm just saying.
And yes, I'm going to go buy it for a, sixth time?
Yeah, let's not discuss that.
on the 12th.
It's a limited release, only available until the end of the year.
So, yeah, let's see. I'll own it next Tuesday.
If you can find it. I won't have money next Tuesday, probably. If I do, I'll get it.
I'm pretty sure my local Best Buy will have many copies they'll be pimping out.
This is huge. Lucas said he didn't want to do it. He really didn't want to do this. But the fan outcry was so insane that he had to. He was like, okay, we'll do it. Here you go.
This is... From what I understand, this is basically a DVD transfer of the THX
box set. As far as I can tell.
So if you have the... If you have the THX remasters of the original movies on VHS, this is those on DVD, which Josh and I both have. But I never plug in my VCR anymore. It's actually not even connected to my home entertainment center.
Mine is in the basement. I have a lot of VHSs, but so that I think is actually very cool. So those are two cool projects from the two premier space travel series. Okay. Now let's talk about a not so cool project from one of these seminal sci-fi series.
J.J. Abrams must be stopped before he films again.
I'm not excited about it. But here's the reason we're bringing this up. Nimoy, Leonard Nimoy, you know, Spock. I've met him in person, by the way. Very cool guy. The guy, I mean, he's kind of intense, and he's kind of like, I don't know, he's kind of cool. He's not Spock. My wife's sitting there saying he's Spock. He's not really Spock, but he's far more interesting.
He actually,
than Spock.
Well, let's see. He put out a book called I Am Not Spock, and then 15 years later, he put out a book that says I Am Spock. So I don't think he knows where he sits on that.
He's
on
somewhere
the
in
whole
between.
Spock, not
but
Spock thing.
I mean, okay, we're gonna go on a Leonard Nimoy aside. I mean, a lot of the mannerisms
personally,
that Spock
I,
does.
Personally, I think
are
he's
straight from Nimoy.
Personally, I think he's Galvatron.
I agree, he is Galvatron. Which you know, I don't have any Transformers news in tonight, so that was a good Transformers reference. Other than to say, the most recent interview I read with Shia LaBeouf, whatever the hell you say it, seems like it's going to be an awesome fucking movie. I don't care about the changes. I read a rumor that Megatron will have a terrestrial version of himself.
See, I think that's a confusion rumor. I think they're actually talking about Starscream, who is F-15 Eagle.
No, they specifically said a plane no one has ever seen. I mean, the implication was it's a military plane that no one's seen. Well, not no one, but you know what I mean. That isn't in the, an F-15, I'm sorry, I think everybody and their brother's seen an F-15. Okay? I mean, if you haven't...
Yeah, sadly, now that we've got the F-22 in active service, the F-15s are like, you know, neighborhood watch.
Well, and everybody knows what the F-22 looks like, but the rumor is this is something else altogether. And I don't know, like I said, it was a cryptic quote, and I'm not going to search for the quote and all that, but it made it sound like he has a terrestrial version. Anyway, that was completely off the topic of Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner being approached about possibly working
Pure energy.
Alongside or being in Trek 11 as a cameo, maybe as a lead-in to the flashback that the movie will be to their years at Starfleet Academy.
Matt Damon is not Kirk.
The bottom line is, I don't want to see it. I want him to go new places with the series. I want to explore better
to boldly
stuff.
Go new places?
Not terrestrial-based Starfleet crap. Starfleet Academy, unless they're going to go completely out of canon, is not a lot of flying around in a starship. There's not a lot of that going on.
Frankly, didn't make a very good game either.
No, it wasn't a good game. We'll talk about Star Trek games in my segment later on, though. But... The bottom line is, Starfleet Academy has some possibilities, but I just don't like where they're going with it, and I don't trust Abrams, I've said this before, with anything that has its own continuity. I trust him with the first year, maybe two, of his own ideas, but I don't trust him coming into a franchise.
Maybe. Maybe. He was good. He was good with Alias for about a season and three quarters.
And
the last quarter of season two started to get really weird, and then it completely jumped the
Woo!
Shark.
Okay. Anyway, that's enough of that. I'm done talking about that. I've talked to him blue in the face about JJ. I'm a hack, Abrams, and you can quote me on that. So, two more movie items I'd like to discuss. First of all, the rumor is, and this is an unsubstantiated rumor by a lot, the rumor is that The Hobbit will be coming to theaters in 2007. We all know that Jackson's supposedly working on a Hobbit film.
Given what he did with Lord of the Rings, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. But so help me, if he has Bilbo climbing the statue or the Empire State Building at the end,
dude. If Bilbo climbs the Empire State Building, I'm writing him a letter, and I'm enclosing you. I'm enclosing you in the letter. Rabbit Jeff. I want to see the envelope that fits in. Anyway, and one more thing.
You people have no idea how lucky you are. This isn't a video podcast.
I don't want to know what you were doing. Were you trying to cram yourself in an envelope? My daughter's gone insane.
Let's just say preliminary testing is not good.
God. Anyway, one more movie, and it's a movie that's coming out this month that I didn't know about until today. It's called Flyboys. I don't know how I missed it. It is a World War I era fighter film. It's biplanes and triplanes and zeppelins and people, you know, and it looks awesome. I love the concept of it. There's just never been a really good movie done about that kind of combat. I mean, there have been some interesting movies done. Howard Hughes. There was a lot of that.
The Aviator was an excellent movie, but let's see, I think the problem is that. Yes, biplane. World War I aviation combat can be really, really cool, but you have to have a director that really understands it to know it. A director who's trying to make Top Gun with biplanes ain't gonna work.
From what I've seen, and you haven't seen any of the previews or anything, I don't think so. What I've seen, it's not at all Top Gun. It is. I mean, there's just the sky is filled with planes. It's not one or two planes. It's thick and it's explosions and Victoria
and your daughter going
she's
crazy.
She's terrible twos. I don't know what to do other than ignore her, and that makes it real tough when I'm trying to record a podcast.
Telling you,
yeah.
Bourbon.
You don't get Father of the Year or even Honorary Uncle of the Year. I still don't know how I missed this. It looks like they really get it. It looks like they get the characters. It looks like, it looks like it'll be good. It's got James Franco in it, for those of you, the new Green Goblin himself, actually not Green Goblin, whatever they're going to call him in the next movie. I mean, it's got a few people you may have heard of in it. It's directed by a guy by the name of Tony Bill, who ain't done a lot of movies. I had to look him up on IMDb. That's how little I know about this guy. He did a lot of TV stuff that we won't talk about because. He directed an episode of Monk. And a couple episodes of Felicity. And some Gideon's Crossing. Mostly TV stuff, but... And that is often a concern for me. Coming from TV to movies is a big step, as was proved by just the technical aspects of Highlander 4, not to mention the script, but the film aspects where they didn't, you know, where the director didn't get 16:9. Didn't realize that, you know, 16:9 is actually, you know, more than 4:3. But from what I saw, it looks epic and looks awesome. Definitely look it up, Flyboys. It comes out, I believe, September 20th. This is a movie I may have to see. Now, let's move on to some technology news. Shall we? Let's shall.
Sure, why not?
Turns out the RIAA doesn't like independent experts, mostly because they're not in their hip pocket.
The RIAA is continuing to just be as stupid as humanly possible.
Well, okay, basically, here's the setup. The RIAA is suing a person for illegally, you know, being a bastard, copying music that they probably already own and have every right to copy. Whatever. you know, they're suing, and they want this person's hard drive. And the person refuses to hand the hard drive over to him, saying, "No, I want an independent expert to come in and look at the hard drive. I want an impartial party who's not going to go into my personal crap, who's going to only go in and get what you need and not fuck with the rest of my system." And the RIAA says, no, we don't want to do that. That's not in our best interest. I don't know. I don't know what they're
it's,
thinking. Or that they're thinking.
I have long since given up on trying to figure out how or why they make some of the bonehead business decisions they make. It's like they honestly hate their customers. They really, really hate consumers. And yeah, a lot of what they do seems to be, seems to stem from trying to make an example out of people. You know, that they'll spend, you know, $30,000 on a lawsuit to get $850, to prove that, you know, if you pirate, we'll come after you. And it's just, it's self-defeating, it's ridiculous, and it's one of the reasons why I think I've bought, I don't know.
You know what it is?
Maybe 8 CDs in the past
it's
10 years.
Anti-consumer, which is exactly the wrong thing to be.
Yeah.
If you want to make money, okay? You know, your consumers are, you know, without them, you're fucked. And not in a good way.
Yeah, they've,
I don't think there's any question.
They've done everything they can to convince me not to buy CDs.
You know what? I can't justify the prices. There are CDs I would love to own. I seldom buy CDs because I go in. There was a compilation, a Genesis compilation album, and Jeff knows how much I love Genesis. And,
he's kind of weird that way.
Baby. What can I say? I'm a huge fan of Genesis, and I looked at this, and I was like, you know, I just can't justify spending that much. I can justify it on a DVD.
Especially for a compilation. It's not even new stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know. They're stupid. But let's talk about another stupid company. You might know them. Four-letter word. Begins in S, ends in Oni. Okay.
Yeah,
let me break this down for you. With a little hip-hop beat. No, wait. There will be no hippity-hoppity in my house. Jeff, I'm going to edit you out of the whole show. I... Anyway, Sony has been against Microsoft, and one of the big sticking points people say is, well, Microsoft isn't doing 1080p. And that's right, that's true. Microsoft isn't even doing 1080i on their games. One point that is now being made by Sony and supporters of Sony is that, well, there aren't that many 1080p or 1080i, or, and high definition isn't that big a deal in the next generation systems. You know, hey. That's crazy. I don't understand. Well, up until this point, that's been their big selling point. And now they tell us, here's what the problem is. Tell us the low-end Sony won't be able to do 1080p at all. Won't be able to do 1080p over HDMI. They'll still, for games, they'll be able to do it over RCA, or over component, okay? Except for, there are, as far as I've seen no TVs that do 1080p over component cables. I don't know of any. And so you won't be able to do HDMI out on the low-end Sony at all. And on the high-end Sony PlayStation 3, it'll cost you. It's not coming with the cable. Here's the kicker. Blu-ray will not play 1080p except for over HDMI. It's part of the standard. It's part of the Blu-ray standard. It's part of the bullshit of one of the reasons I don't really like either of the next-gen standards is because they're all about, you know, hey, copyrighties. You know, they've gone insanely Nazi over all this copyright crap, and it's getting old. But the bottom line is, this is bullshit. I mean, I'm not saying that Microsoft's any better for what they didn't do and what they, you know, did or didn't do, but at least they were honest. At least they said, here's what we're doing. They weren't like, yeah, it'll do 1080p. Yeah, it'll do 1080p. Oh, well, kind of do 1080p if you're lucky. But not if you buy our $500 one won't do it. No, no, no. And I've been having a discussion with my uncle lately about how this is the way Blu-ray gets into your home. You buy, you know, a $600 player. That's a good deal. And bullshit.
Player.
Sony has already proven they can't execute when it comes to putting a unit that plays, a game system that plays a movie of some sort, DVD. PlayStation 2, the worst DVD player fucking ever. I mean, it's just a nightmare.
Well, I mean, especially since you play like 5 movies and then you burn out your drive.
I don't have any faith in Sony putting Blu-ray in here, and I don't know. I don't see anybody out there going, yeah, I'm going to buy it. And I don't see anybody who is looking at high-definition video. I don't see anybody who's looking at high-definition video as being, oh, yeah, I'll get a PlayStation 3. I don't see salespeople doing it. I see them trying to say no. I just don't. It's not a good marketing plan. Because you can try to sell yours as the all-in-one system all you want. It's not. It's just, like I said, on the low-end one, it doesn't do it at all. On the high-end one, I'm going to have to see how well it does it before I believe it. Sony has not got my trust, even a little bit. I didn't buy a 360 either. I don't just blindly believe Microsoft either. I've got my questions about their upcoming HD DVD drive. We'll see. If it really works, $200 is a great add-on. But they're not forcing you into buying it either. And they're not shoving a standard down your throat, which is, hey, Sony's shoving a standard down our throats. When have we seen that before? Anybody remember UMD? The most recent Sony standard to fail miserably?
Oh, yeah, right. Those tiny little discs that nobody buys.
If you want to know where the HD DVD Blu-ray battle is, walk into Walmart, count how many HD DVD titles and how many Blu-ray titles there are. You'll find there are more HD DVD titles. You'll find there are more HD DVD players.
Okay. As far as I gotta go on this, Bill Gates says HD DVD. Boom, we're done.
You know, I'm not even getting into that. I see where, what you're saying. I don't necessarily disagree. But Sony, you know, Sony's got everybody believing their technology is better. We talked last week about how they can't get the dual-layer discs to play.
Yeah. Sony does not deserve the name Sony. They do not... The current company does not deserve to be associated with the company that brought us the Walkman.
They definitely don't. I agree wholeheartedly.
They are a shadow of a shadow of that kind of visionary technology leadership. And they make me sad.
It'd make it a lot better if they'd stop shoving new standards down our throats. Because one company does not a standard make. Anyway, I'm done.
I ain't buying it.
The general consensus amongst people who buy gaming systems is they aren't buying it. I don't know why anyone thinks it's going to be different when it releases, but I'm not predicting a horrible catastrophic failure, but I'm predicting it won't matter if they meet their build quotas that they claim they can reach. One last little piece of technology I want to talk about. DOCSIS 3.0. Jeff, do you know anything about DOCSIS?
It's the sister technology to DOCBRO. No.
It stands for Data Over Cable Service Interface Specifications. It's the standard communication that your cable modem uses to talk to your cable provider. It's what puts a limit on your speed.
Okay.
It's what allows you to go, you know, X amount of speed. I can't remember what 2.0 does. DOCSIS 3.0 is coming. Not like tomorrow. But it's on its way. And it will reach 160 meg downstream and 120 meg upstream. That's its theoretical threshold. Actually,
holy smokes.
Yeah, so that's its thresholds on that, okay? Now it does this by actually using, you know, channel bonding. You know, we've all heard that before, probably if we're geeks. It uses several channels to transmit data. And it's also IPv6. It's a new standard. I just wanted to point out that's the future. That's where we're heading. We're not heading there tomorrow. Maybe next Tuesday we'll get there. No. But you get the idea. So I just thought that was really kind of an exciting technology that's coming up, and I thought it was the kind of thing we should highlight here in Maximum Geek. Anything else we missed?
Yeah, that's very cool. No, I think that's it. And I've got three excellent topics for the mobile minute.
You got a minute.
Which is going to be longer than minute, you've been warned.
I'm timing.
Okay, first up, Vodafone is taking pre-orders for the Trio 750V. You'd have to be living in a cave, you know, somewhere not to have already seen, well, pretty much all of the internet porn about the 750V. It's the worst kept secret ever. It looks very similar to the 700s, you know, whether that's P or W variants. The V stands for Vodafone. It's a Windows Mobile 5 powered Trio, GSM, antennaless, mini SD in a slot on the side rather than full SD up top. And at least for now, is only going to be provided by Vodafone, who is a European carrier. So if you're here in the States and you've got Singular or T-Mobile, well, you're going to be waiting a while to get a Trio 750. They're not going to be available in the States anytime soon. But it is going to be pretty cool to actually see a GSM Windows Mobile Trio out in the wild. Yeah, supposedly it's going to be running Windows Mobile 5.2. I don't know exactly what that's going to, you know, what kind of changes that entails. Yeah, my my HTC Apache officially is running 5.1. I don't know what that means. 1.3 megapixel camera, Bluetooth, HSDPA radio, which means, you know, if you've got the signal quality, just frickin' massive speed. You know, cable quality speed. Although no Wi-Fi. And none of the Trios have Wi-Fi. Get over it.
So
that's going to be cool.
With the Wi-Fi
and honestly... and honestly, but I never use Wi-Fi. I never use it.
You don't have it at home.
So...
If you had it at home, you would use it. And don't tell me you wouldn't.
I don't know. Anyway, they're taking pre-orders now. The official announcement for the 750, so we can finally stop talking about it as the rumored 750V, is going to be on September 12th. Next, we've got HTC making some big changes with their mobile phone lines. HTC, who many of us know as, you know, the manufacturer of not only the Trios, but just about every Windows Mobile smartphone out there, is going to start adding more music playing features to their handsets, you know, more dedicated, you know, play, you know, forward, back buttons, and they're going to slowly phase out infrared. Eventually their phones are, you know, they're going to have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and cellular, but not infrared. So, yeah, they'll be better as media players, but for those of us who still use infrared keyboards, we're eventually going to have to upgrade to Bluetooth.
Bluetooth!
And finally, HP is apparently not completely quit the PDA bits, but again, not here. Just like the Trio 750 is only available in Europe, the new HP RX 4000 mobile media companion is only available in Asia. This is a pocket PC, you know, not a phone edition. It's a standalone pocket PC with a landscape-oriented QVGA screen, integrated Wi-Fi and Bluetooth 2.0, a full SDIO slot, you know, so no mini SD like the new Trio, a scroll wheel, and Windows Mobile 5.
Woohoo, Windows Mobile.
It's designed to be primarily a PVR, it's, you know, meant to go up against devices like the Creative Zen Vision. What is weird about it is that, yes, you've got an SD slot, so you can put a 4-gig SD card in there, but the device only comes with 128 meg of memory, and this being Windows Mobile, that means that maybe 60 meg of it will be available to the user.
That's a big...
Once again, HP deftly snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. This would have been a good workable device if it had come with 4 gig of flash.
I was
internal.
Excited when I saw it. I was like,
then I could
wow,
have,
there's a PDA I could get behind. I'm not into PDAs, but that's a media PDA.
The design
looks like a media PDA.
Yeah. The design is really cool. It actually reminds me a lot of the Zodiac.
I wouldn't go that far.
And, mostly because it's designed to be landscape.
Well, but as a media PDA, that's the way to go. I mean, do you watch your movies and, you know...
Yeah.
You don't watch your movies in 9
no,
by 16.
No, it's definitely the way to go. But it really should have had either an internal hard drive... Or at least 4 gig of flash. If you're you're going to go this route, at least put a compact flash slot in it so you can put in a microdrive. With a single SD slot and you know, 128 meg of internal flash, this is going to be an interesting side note, but it's not going to be a successful device.
Which is
device.
Why HP's but, hey, you know, it's in the PDA business for quite a while now.
Yeah. But, hey, at least it's a new pocket PC that's not a phone.
Which is interesting.
A lot of people have been, you know, wondering, will we ever see Palm OS or Windows mobile devices again that aren't
and
phones?
And this is the only way we're going to see it is in similar devices
this is
to
one.
This. Well, media
yeah.
devices.
Yeah, the idea of an organizer is gone. The idea of buying a separate device that can do basically what everybody's cell phone does now, who cares? The only way you're going to get to standalone PDAs is... notice that most of the non-cellular PDAs that are sold on the market today are GPS devices that happen to run Palm OS or Windows Mobile. The idea of buying a personal digital assistant that isn't a phone isn't going to work anymore. Because if you think about it, a digital assistant really should be a phone. It should give you the ability to connect and communicate with other people.
I agree.
So, you know, the only way we're gonna see, you know, devices that aren't phones is if they are something else. That they are media players, or they are GPS. Or in the case of the new HTC Artemis, which is just about to be released in Europe, it is a phone and a GPS. And word on the street is it also makes great fries.
Deep fat fryer phone. I can totally do that.
Now, there is a rumor. There is a rumor floating around from pocketpc.com.hk, which is in Chinese that I can't read, but according to the Babelfish translation, there will be a version of the RX400 that comes with 1 gig of internal memory, alongside the standard 64 meg of RAM and 128 meg of flash. It's still got the SDIO slot. That I could.
It's a start. It's a good first.
As long as it is priced, yeah. If it's got a gig of internal memory, it's a full blown pocket PC, and it's got an SD slot, so you can add another 4 gig. As long as they price it no more, and I mean the 1 gig version, not just the goofy one that has almost no memory at all. If they price the 1 gig version no higher than $299 US. It could find a niche in the market. If they price it at $399, it's just going to sit on the shelf.
Because they're dedicated video devices that you can, you know, they've got to compete with the dedicated devices.
Yeah. I mean, being a full-blown pocket PC gives you a whole lot of extra, you know, utility. But yeah, it's got to be price competitive. And then the last thing I was going to mention is that Sprint has officially released the Trio 700WX. The WX is nearly identical to Verizon's 700W. The only difference is that the WX from Sprint has twice the available storage memory. It's got the same amount of RAM, but it has twice the, or do I have that backwards? No, I do have that backwards. It's got the same amount of storage memory. It's got twice the RAM. There we go. That's a ticket. So what that means, what a lot of people found out with the 700W on Verizon is that only 32 meg of RAM on a Windows mobile device gives you the ability of running one, maybe two programs before it starts to, you know, hitch up and run out of memory. It's just 32 meg just isn't enough for a Windows Mobile 5 pocket PC phone. So when Sprint commissioned their version of the 700W, they said, no, we're going to double the RAM.
Smart move.
Yeah, we're not going to make quite the same outrageous margin that Verizon makes, but you know what? We're going to sell more phones.
I agree, because that was my biggest complaint about the
700W. The 700W has had a lot of returns because it bogs down if you try to run too much stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
The WX should not have that problem. So, I expect Sprint to do pretty well with that. I still prefer my HTC Apache, because it's still got a bigger screen and a roomier keyboard. But it's nice to see that, you know, the trio is branching out there.
I got to agree with you, and I apologize to all our listeners for the screeching monkey. She just, like I said, she's 19 months old, and apparently the
terrible twos
hit a little early with this one. So is that the end of the Mobile Minute?
Well, you know, I keep suggesting bourbon, and you'd never take me up on that.
Send me bourbon.
Get that
okay.
kid drunk.
Send
she'll
me
be
bourbon.
Really quiet.
I'll take bourbon.
Yeah.
I won't give her bourbon.
She'll look at,
I'll take
she'll look at one of those little mobiles, and she'll just be fascinated for
I'll
hours.
Take
you know.
I won't care. Send me bourbon, and I won't
All right.
care.
All right.
Me. Send bourbon to me.
All right.
That's
but,
your listeners, too. I'll take bourbon.
So, yeah. Two new Windows Mobile trios. Still no official word on the next Palm OS trio, the codename Nitro. New PDA from HP, but kind of, yeah, as with most HP PDAs, has a rather glaring Achilles heel. And infrared is a dying technology. That'll do it for Mobile Minute.
All right.
Josh?
In the Comic and Games Corner, I have a comic topic and a games topic. You know, usually when I'm talking comics, I'm giving some props to DC. I read a comic that came out last month, and I don't read my comics, you know, the day they come out or anything. And I was horribly disappointed. But I looked back at this series, it's 9 issues into this series, and I've been fairly disappointed all along. It's the new Supergirl series. We're up to issue 9, and the concept of Supergirl was interesting when they brought her back in Superman Batman. You know, the world's finest title that's out there. And this was really a spinoff of that title, written by Jeff Loeb for the first few issues and all that. And after 1 year later, it really took a turn for the worse. It was okay. There was some interesting stuff. You were kind of interested in the character at first. But then they jump forward a year, and they're doing all this weird stuff, and they just kind of take you... They took you to a whole new place, and I stuck with it and thinking it would be interesting, and there's a lot of really poor foreshadowing going on throughout it, and it's clunky storytelling. It's just not... You know, with comics, the story is as important as the way you tell it. The flow of the story, what you fit in an issue is so important. So many writers don't get that. So many writers just go, hey, this is an interesting story, but they don't understand that, you know, I don't care if it's a part of a bigger arc, I don't care if you're going to pay off in 10 issues, I need, you know, context now. I need it to be interesting now. I need it to not, you know, not be confusing. And a lot of times, not even with continuity stuff, and that's one thing. When you get into continuity stuff, I give them a little room. But with this, it's just poor storytelling. Issue 9 was the worst, and it was written by Joe Kelly, who's written some excellent, some incredible G.I. Joe stuff recently. And he's done a lot of stuff he's done, but is good, but some of my favorite stuff of his is this G.I. Joe stuff he did. And I'm a Joe Kelly fan. I'm a fan of the guy. I'm a fan of the character. I'm a fan of Supergirl. I am not a fan of this whiny teenage, what am I going to do with my life bullshit. I don't need Dawson's Creek in comic form. I don't think they know who their audience is, but even teenage girls who aren't reading the comic, if you see how they draw Supergirl, it ain't being drawn for teenage girls. Unless they want to make more anorexic teenage girls. And this is a series I started collecting for my daughter, too, because I thought, that's a good idea. I thought, yeah, that's... Okay, kill our dogs. Oh. I don't know what they're doing or why.
Kill my landlord.
I just don't know. But it really disappointed me. A series I had a lot of, I had a lot of hope for, and, you know, and I, like I said, I really wanted to collect it for my daughter. Ended up being blah. So I can't, you know, normally, like I said, normally I'm giving glowing reviews of these things, but right now I just, I gotta say, Supergirl is something to steer away from. They might be going someplace good, and I'll stick with it for a few more. I always give a comic a few issues to get itself back right. But I figure, I feel I've given this one maybe too many already, because I really do want to collect it for my daughter, so she, you know, but if it's not a good story, then I don't want to introduce her to comics with that. You know? Anyway. Then, I want to talk about games, and this one, topic Jeff might even chime in on. Star Trek Legacy.
Woo!
A Star Trek RTS.
I haven't, still haven't seen this, but it sounds cool.
Star Trek RTS that has a single-player campaign, which spans, classic through TNG. Actually, it might span, I don't remember, I'd have to look it up, I don't have it in front of me. But it's a, the game itself, ship-wise and multiplayer-wise and game-wise, covers everything. It covers Enterprise, through Voyager, and everywhere in between. It's got, hundreds of ship designs. The graphics and the video I've seen of it look awesome. And it's an RTS. It's an RTS that has little skirmishes between just a couple of ships. I mean, okay. In my opinion, the best spaceship battle sequence in any Trek film is in Trek 6. I don't know if Jeff agrees, but the dialogue goes into that, and the way it was shot, but when the Excelsior shows up...
Fire apart,
yeah,
then!
Exactly. But when the Excelsior shows up, that's just that moment, and that battle is awesome. And I didn't, and I thought that Nemesis actually had a pretty good space combat scene, too.
Although the space combat battle in Nemesis is... See, I don't know. I can't pick. The climactic battle in Star Trek VI, awesome. Just for the emotion in it. The battle in Nemesis, just freaking kicked ass. It was the first time I've seen a Star Trek battle that was actually, like, really visceral, really, you know, the kind of stuff I was used to seeing on Babylon 5. But the cat and mouse game in the Nebula Wrath of Khan.
I mean, that's, and I almost brought that one up.
That was the first time you saw Star Trek really using the Z-axis.
And that's true.
Playing this out in three dimensions.
That was awesome. I just don't see that as... And I'm really trying to relate this more towards the type of battles we're seeing. I mean, those are nearly impossible to rank. But just the dialogue and just the whole emotion of the moment. I don't know. I think for me, from a film standpoint, 6 still wins out, although there's amazing stuff in Khan. Okay, you know, Wrath of Khan has some amazing stuff, but Undiscovered Country, it's just, you get to see Sulu at this, it's probably the best Sulu moment, it's one of the best Kirk moments, I mean, you know, there's just so many characters who are just so good in that sequence, whereas, you know, I just don't think there's as much strong character stuff in Wrath of Khan in that sequence. I want to say the movie, and just in that sequence. I think that's what wins it for me. But I love those little skirmishes, but now let's talk about if there are any Star Trek fans out there who are going to say, bullshit, the best Star Trek combat sequences ever are the Dominion War. And I gotta say, they're awesome. But they're a whole different scale. Okay? I mean, you're looking at the one or two or, you know, little skirmishes, or you're looking at the Dominion War. Or the Borg War, but I mean, I don't think there are gonna be a lot of people who say, hey, the Borg stuff was, cause mostly there was debris. You hear a lot about it, but you don't see a lot of it.
Actually, there were some scenes of the final, the defense of Earth, where everybody came in, and it, you know, it was just, yeah, I mean, the Defiant was there, and, you know, the Enterprise, and yeah, just that, yeah, to me, still watching all of those Starfleet ships just swarming around Borg cubes. That still gets me kind of.
But and what I want to clarify is, I'm looking.
But again,
at two,
all of those
I'm
were TV.
At two different kind of two different kind of battles too. I want to encompass everything. I'm talking about the skirmishes first, and I put those as a totally different kind of combat. Those are just a geekgasm type of combat. I mean, there's not nearly as much character stuff. That's all about the action. The great thing is, Star Trek Legacy will let you play both scales. They'll let you do multi-system multiplayer games where you're dealing with all kinds of ships, or they'll let you do the small skirmishes. And I'll tell you, I haven't been excited about a Star Trek game ever. I'm trying to think if I've ever owned a Star Trek game. I'm trying to think if I ever owned a Star Trek game, and I honestly don't think I did. Ever. I don't think I've ever bought...
I was excited about Star Trek Academy, but it... You know, when it came out, it was like, oh, that's lame.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever bought a Star Trek game, and this one I will buy. It comes out in November, and I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to make Jeff buy it. Because my new laptop I'll have tomorrow should be able to play.
Oh yeah, you're not gonna have to try
but
very hard.
RTS game, and Jeff hates RTS games. Tried to get him to buy Age of Empires. He went, why would I do that? Why would I spend money on that crap? You know. But I'm excited about. I don't get excited about sci-fi RTS games either. Not even the Star Wars ones. I've played some good Star Wars ones. I played some bad Star Wars ones, but they don't really. Excite me. Star Trek Legacy, awesome. So I'm really excited about that.
I'm really looking forward to this.
And what we didn't mention is every captain is back to voice. They're the voices of all the actors who played, all the captains. We got Scott Bakula's there. William Shatner's there. God, I'm thinking of their Star Trek names, and I'm stupid. Patrick Stewart's there. Kate Mulgrew. God damn it, Sisko. What's his real name? Other than Hawk.
Hawk.
As long as you're on the same wavelength, because oftentimes that's what we called him, was, hey, it's Hawk. Especially when he went, when he went severe later on in the series.
See, the problem is, as soon as you said Kate Mulgrew, I just kind of went off on this whole little tangent in my head. Damn it, Chakotay, stop drawing on your face.
I could do without her voice. I could do without, actually, Voyager ever existing. I could totally do without Kate Mulgrew ever. And not that she's a bad actor, not that there are bad actors in Voyager, just that it was a bad series. Okay, that's,
Yeah, it's not a big
so
fan.
So, guys, I think that's all I've got. I think that's all. But I just, I definitely had to cover those couple things. I had to cover my super disappointment with Supergirl. And I definitely had to cover Star Trek Legacy, because I want people to play. I want to be able to host a Maximum Geek server. Not that anybody ever does our Maximum Geek stuff. Freaking... We've been trying to get fantasy football people. We got some, but if you're not in our fantasy football league, email me at josh@atlantisrises.net. Oh, also, I can't believe I didn't mention this earlier, Atlantis 4 is up for sale on Fictionwise. Buy it! And next week I think we're going to have...
And Unification... Yeah, Unification Chronicles number 4 will be available next Monday. I'm going to upload it either tonight or tomorrow.
I think we'll have some discussion about solo media stuff next week, which will be something new for us. Tune back in for that. There's always good stuff to cover.
Yeah.
I'll have a Toshiba P100.
Josh tried to talk to me about solo media stuff today, and I was just too silly to really carry on a conversation with.
I'll have a mini review of the Toshiba P100 laptop, I think that's it. Anything else, Jeff? All right.
Yeah,
later.
That'll do it. No, that's all I got.